Let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, chose Bartholomew to be an apostle to preach the blessed gospel. Grant that your church may love what he believed and preach what he taught. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the feast of St. Bartholomew Apostle is from the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who leads Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the 4th chapter. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 1st chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 3. I will read it again. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This is our text. When I reached for a coffee mug in my cupboard this week, I noticed one that had a Bible verse on it. It said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." I wondered how many of you might have a coffee mug like that in your cupboard. Or perhaps you got those words on a Hallmark card, or a wall hanging, or a throw pillow. Because I can promise you this, Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 sells a lot of merchandise. People love it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But back to the coffee mug. How many of us think we need a morning cup of coffee to survive? Maybe it's easier to trust the Lord and face life with a little caffeine on board. We've already been through the confession of sins, so I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning. But I'm actually being serious here. If we think we can't survive without caffeine, or our cell phone, or a glass of wine, or our favorite show, or whatever it is, then what does trust in the Lord even mean? Proverbs doesn't have anything against coffee, but it's definitely got something to say about those who fear, love, or trust in anything above the Lord. So how about this for your wake-up call, for your morning jolt, to get a little life coursing through your veins? Pick up your Bible and read. If you want coffee to go with it, go for it. Just remember that one of these is essential and one of them is an extra. Trust in the Lord. It can become a platitude. You know, one of those sayings that becomes so trite because we've been using it thoughtlessly or too much. What do we mean when we say it? Do we mean that we trust in the Lord so long as we're the ones who are in control and everything's working out exactly the way we want it? Trust in the Lord, we say, but the whole time we've got our hands firmly on the wheel, white-knuckling it, and there's no way we're letting go. You'll have to peel my fingers back one at a time to take the wheel from me. So we're glad to have the Lord along, and we'll certainly trust in him in the passenger seat. Lord, if you don't mind, I trust you, but I'll do the driving this week, we say. Control freaks. I mean, really, isn't that what we are? Control freaks about our time, about our money, about our health, about our house, about our work, about our play, about our children, birth control, helicopter parenting, and even about death.
That last one may strike you as a bit strange. Control over our death? But have you heard about the MAID law in Canada? MAID stands for Medical Assistance in Dying, sometimes called euthanasia, but let's just skip the euphemisms and call it what it is. Assisted suicide. It's literally a death grip on the control wheel. We'll grasp at anything to feel like we're still in control of something, somewhere, even for a little while. We lean way too much on our own understanding. But when control is gone, that's when the rubber really hits the road. You know what those moments are in your life, perhaps even now. The things that reveal the truth that we're not in control the way we think we are or the way we want to be. When it's abundantly clear that you're not in control of the world or even your own life or sometimes even yourself. That wheel we think we're holding, I just picture us sitting in a video arcade with one of those fake pretend steering wheels. Look at me go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Maybe Bartholomew, and remember he's also known as Nathaniel, maybe Bartholomew was reading the Proverbs as he sat under the fig tree before coming to Jesus. I picture Nathaniel, Bartholomew, as a man whose life had been fairly practical, predictable, and put together up to that point. As a son of the word, he would not forget the teaching, but he would keep the commandments. Steadfast love and faithfulness didn't forsake him, but were bound around his neck, and they were written on the tablet of his heart. He's been a student of the word. He's been a student of the word in a fairly safe way. And then Philip finds him. Philip, who's just bubbling over and exuberant, he says to Bartholomew, "We've found him. We found him. Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Bartholomew responds with a bit of skepticism. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He's leaning on his own understanding, leaning on his own thinking. Why, Nazareth, it's never mentioned in the Old Testament. Nazareth doesn't play into any of the prophecies or promises of God. But Philip simply steers him to Jesus. Philip says, "Come and see. Come and see." And that's how Bartholomew finds himself on this unexpected adventure, an adventure that's beyond his control. He meets Jesus, and Jesus says of him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." How does Jesus know him? How does Jesus know who Bartholomew is? "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, while you were studying the scriptures and in the Bible, I saw you." When it was just Bartholomew with the scriptures, Jesus was there too. It should be a reminder to us. Jesus saw him and knew him through these pages and through these passages. Just like he sees and knows you through the scriptures as well. We think that as we read the Bible, we are learning about God. When really, in a way, as we read the Bible, God is learning and seeing us and knowing us more deeply than we've known before. Everything that's been written, St. Paul says, was written for our instruction. It was written for us. And Bartholomew discovers that day that Jesus won't be a passenger on the journey. You can't just tell Jesus, "Hop in the passenger seat and come ride along with me." Jesus isn't a ride for the long. isn't along for the ride. Jesus takes the wheel from Bartholomew. And this is what he says. Dear Bartholomew, you can't control me. You can't decide where things are going to go. But where I'm going, you can come too. You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You can't control me, but you can learn from me. You can receive my love. You can follow me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will make straight your paths. Jesus offers that invitation to Bartholomew. And Bartholomew takes him up on it, even though he doesn't know where it will lead. And we'll get there in a minute. And as Bartholomew follows Jesus, he discovers that Jesus is indeed trustworthy. Everything he says, he does. That his word has power and life. As Peter said to Jesus when others were leaving, Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You, Jesus, have the words of eternal life." And Bartholomew learns to trust Jesus. He learns to trust Jesus as he sees him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000. He learns to trust Jesus as a man who's blind from birth comes to our Lord and Jesus heals him and gives him sight for the first time. He learns to trust Jesus as they go with him to visit Mary and Martha, who are grieving deeply for their brother Lazarus, who's been 4 days dead, until Jesus shows up and says, "Lazarus, come out." He learns to trust as he follows Jesus to Jerusalem, as he watches him falsely accused, arrested, beaten, spit on, mocked, hung on a cross to die, and then buried in a tomb. And he learns to trust as he's in that upper room on Easter Sunday evening with the doors locked and the lights off, and suddenly Jesus is right there. "Peace be with you. Didn't I tell you? Follow me, trust in me, and I will make straight your paths." And again, later when they're fishing on the Sea of Galilee and they toss in the nets and pull in 153 fish. Bartholomew's life became an exercise in trust. And I'm not telling you that he got it perfectly right from that day when Jesus called him until he died. I'm sure there were ups and downs in his life. I'm sure there were moments when he thought he was trusting and realized it was only his hands on the wheel. But he followed Jesus. The Bible doesn't record for us where Bartholomew went or what he did or what happened to him. But we know as an apostle that he preached the apostolic faith. He preached the truth that Jesus is Son of God, King of Israel, Savior of the world through his suffering, death, and resurrection. But the Bible doesn't tell us the rest of his story, which is a reminder to us. We can't see around that next corner with Bartholomew. We can't see over the hill that's in front of him. We don't know what's written on the next page. But our Lord is more than able to take his people, to take us around that curve and over that hill and into the next page. But there is a little bit of a story about Bartholomew. Church history provides a little bit about him. It's said that he went and preached to the king and in the kingdom of Armenia. If you know anything about Armenia, it's a small country in the kind of Middle Eastern area, and it is the oldest Christian nation. Someone went and preached. Probably Bartholomew. But the story goes this way. The king heard and believed and loved the word and loved Jesus, but the king's brother didn't. And the king's brother was so angered by what Bartholomew said that he had Bartholomew flayed alive, literally skinned to death for Jesus. Images of Bartholomew typically have him holding a flaying knife, but sometimes they even show him holding his own skin, draped over his shoulder, almost like he's carrying his coat. Which makes me wonder, which of you, in that moment as the flaying knife begins to fall, wants to go up to Bartholomew and say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," while his skin is being removed? But you know, he doesn't need us to tell it to him. St. Paul describes the apostles in this way. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay, the ministry they have in jars of clay, referring to their bodies. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Bartholomew carried in his body the death of Jesus, so that he could manifest, so he could proclaim and show forth the life of Jesus, the life of the living and risen Jesus. I'll confess that I find this description in 2 Corinthians 4 a bit challenging. Who wants to sign up for this? Afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. And yet the amazing thing to me is that Paul doesn't end with any of those words. Instead, he says, not crushed, not driven to despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. That's the apostles for us. That's Bartholomew, holding on to his own skin. And so we need not despair over him. And we need not worry about his suffering and persecution, or even the trials we meet in our own life. No, instead, we should see Bartholomew holding his own skin, holding the flaying knife. We should hear him as the one who is speaking to us and who says to us out of his own death and the promise of his resurrection, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Not from the comfort and security of our coffee cup do we say those words, but from the reality of his own martyrdom for Christ. He's the one who bears witness to us, this faithful saint, with his own life and death. He's the one who invites us into the way of Jesus. He's the one who encourages us to follow him, who is both Son of God and King of Israel. So here's the question for you this week. Where is it that you need this trust? In what moments or what situations do you need Bartholomew speaking to you, proclaiming the trustworthiness of Jesus and inviting you to follow? Where is it that you need Jesus? Not in the passenger seat riding along, but rather at the wheel and in control. Bartholomew had this promise. "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Healing to the flesh. Refreshment to the bones. Resurrection of the body. because Jesus is alive and risen. And we can trust him in life and in death. Here's what Jesus offers, not a coffee mug with platitudes, but a different cup. Jesus offers the cup of salvation, and these are the words inscribed on it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he, the one who is here in his body and his blood, will make straight your paths. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, to maintain righteousness and hinder and punish wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Bless our homes and families, and be with all expectant mothers and the children they carry, including Rachel, Stephanie, and Catherine. Be with all students, teachers, staff, and school administrators in our towns, at the Imago School, and all homeschool families, that whatever is just, true, and good would flourish in them, and that our children would grow in wisdom and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, chronic illness and pain, or any other adversity, especially Claudette on hospice care, Karen traveling to see her, William and Louise in their recoveries, Barbara in her sorrow and diagnosis,
Mike and his healing, as well as George and Carol, Debbie, Lee, Judy, Jackie, Richard, Audrey, Care2, Joyce, Tiffany, and Dave. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have not deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, do not remember the sins of our youth or our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Lord, in your mercy. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant Bartholomew and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm number 9, a psalm of prophecy. Those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Then my enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations and made the wicked perish. You have blotted out the name forever and ever. The enemy came to the end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice. And he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in the times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have forgotten those who seek you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
Heart in peace.
strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sickness, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you